This seance was recorded on the 15th of March, 1965. Sitters, Mrs. Green and Mr. Woods, medium Leslie Flint. Is your name Wood?
Oh, nice to hear you.
I was listening to your conversation about food.
Oh, were you making your mouth water, Mickey?
No, not at all. I was just thinking how necessary it is to have food for the body and food for the spirit.
Quite right.
When we come to the meetings, you see, to hear the tapes, Mickey, we have to...
I suppose you feed them up with food to give them strength to take the food of the message of the spirit.
That's right.
That's right, Mickey.
Oh, I like to give them a good tea, Mickey.
Well, that's a problem, ain't it? Mm. You can't please everybody, whether you put cakes in front of them or sandwiches or spiritual food.
No.
It's bound to be some people say, oh, I don't like that, you know. Yeah, it gives me indigestion, either psychic, spiritual, or physical.
Well, so you could get psychic indigestion, couldn't you?
Oh, yes, in a kind of way, yes.
Anyway, we keep on, Mickey.
You should definitely serve unleavened bread for some of those people.
Unleavened bread.
I don't know how to make it.
Pardon?
I don't know how to make it, Mickey.
Well, I haven't a clue either.
Well, how are you?
Oh, there's nothing wrong with me.
Good.
It's you I'm worried about.
Me?
Well, the pair on you.
Oh.
Why?
I know, you know what I mean. There's nothing wrong with us on this side in that sense, but with you people on your side, there's all sorts of problems, aren't there, that arise, and confusions, and people who just don't seem to realise how necessary it is to exert themselves to be understanding and open-minded, and how to advance in any sense unless they've got an open mind. You see, the problem is a lot of people's minds are so closed. They're so cluttered up, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
We've had a difficult with many of them this week over their so closed minds.
Oh, well, you're bound to.
Yes.
They don't want to hear anything that doesn't support what they already think they know.
No.
You see, they've already made up their minds.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as you play something to them that supports what they are highly opinionated about, well, you're on the safe side, but God help you if you ain't.
Oh,
I don't think I believe that, you know. I couldn't possibly accept that. Oh, no, you know. Oh, dear. Because we're on a very high vibration, you know. Oh, dear.
Of course, you've already had somebody said that they're on the higher teachings, whereas more or less we're on the low ones, isn't it?
Yes, that's all right. I should think they must feel bloody uncomfortable, is all I can say. Oh, dear, it makes you smile. I suppose they're in regular communication with Jesus, speaking in perfect English.
Oh, yes, we've had that,
Mickey. Oh, we've had that, too,
yeah. Poor old Moles, Blaze. Oh, Moles.
Oh.
We have all sorts, Mickey. All sorts.
It's amazing how people will swallow some of this rather, really quite stupid when you analyse it and say, oh, that's wonderful, dear. You know, I don't suppose it... Oh, I suppose if she went to trance, she'd frighten herself to death.
They would.
Because some people have never been out of one.
That's something too, Mickey.
One gentleman said last week he'd never heard of him. I said, oh, he says, isn't it frightening? He said, go there and they can see what we do. That's such a, it's not frightening. I said, it's a very nice thing to, and it keeps you warm.
Shows he got a conscience, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, we're very happy trying to do help the others, Mickey.
As long as you don't get superior.
Mickey, you'll never
need... The more humble you are, the more likelihood there is of more understanding and more realisation of truth. But if you get all that attitude, oh, of course I knew it, dear. Yes, of course we couldn't possibly see eye to eye, but that's far. Oh, no, no, that luck.
Yes, there's no fear of that getting with us, Mickey.
Just imagine old Betty there. Oh, she was like that. Oh, no, of course I'm on a very high vibration, you know. Oh, dear. Blimey, it wouldn't be old Bet, would it?
No, it wouldn't be quite right.
No, it wouldn't be good.
people must learn to face truth and facts.
Yeah.
They're getting those highfalutin stays, and it's usually the people who are getting old, you know, really getting advancing years, quite often these people, they take it like that. Oh, blimey.
I know.
The youngsters, thank God, have got a much more open mind.
They have, yeah.
They're the ones you want to go after. The old crops will find out very soon, so why bother with them?
It's very difficult to get hold of youngsters.
You take my advice and go to the young ones. You let the old ones get on with it.
We do. We try to. It's very difficult to get hold of young.
We are too young.
You won't get far without their church fellowship now.
We had two people yesterday. They were quite young. They were very, very pleased about it. Very.
All I can say about them is their surpluses won't wash in.
Surpluses? Easter's coming, Mickey. They always wash them at Easter.
Oh, thank God for that. I reckon they should read the Homo adverts.
For Daz?
For Daz, yes. I certainly could put the halos in it.
Listens.
Hello.
Good morning, friend.
Morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I was listening to our friend.
Yes.
I admire his sense of humour.
Yes.
He is a remarkable person, and he certainly has a remarkable sense of humour. And I can only tell you that it is a very important factor to have a remarkable sense of humour. Without it, I think most of us would be lost, if not all of us. Whether we were on your side or whether we were on this, in the early stages of coming here, I think one must develop, if one hasn't already, a sense of humour, because wherever there are human beings, and believe me, we are very human, it's very necessary to have a sense of humour. People have these strange ideas about life after so-called death. The vast majority of them have the strangest conception of what it means, and indeed the vast majority are completely wrong. This world is a real world, composed of real people whose thoughts themselves have created the very circumstances in which they find themselves. It's not a world that has been prepared, in a sense, before they arrive. They themselves have prepared it by their very thoughts and actions while on earth. In other words, they have created the very environment to which they will eventually enter. But fortunately, nothing is static. If it were so, if there was such a thing as a static life or existence, there could be no realization whatsoever of anything, because if it were not so that life were continuous in as much that we gain new knowledge and new experience, if we were not fluidic, and if we were not, as it were, constantly revising our thoughts and ideas and our conceptions of truth, there could be no life at all. It is motion and change. It is the realization that we are constantly adding to and taking away from within ourselves, that we are as we are, that we have life at all. That is the answer, in a simple nutshell, in a sense, it is the whole answer. Of course, there are many, many aspects of this great truth, but the whole point is that when man realizes that he is constantly adding to his knowledge, constantly changing his outlook and his ideas, that he is entering all the time into a world of thought, and it is thought that makes possible the very conditions under which you live and exist, whether it is in your world or this. Your world is a thought world. You are living in a condition which man through generations of time has created. If there is chaos and fear and unhappiness, if there is talk of war and war should come, it is man's doing. Man's thoughts have become active and created the circumstance and the situation. Man is always railing against God, saying, why does God permit this and why does God permit that? The whole point is that God in himself, if one tries to visualize such a thing as a God or a personality, God is in a sense standing adrift and apart from mankind. But then again, we on this side who have some knowledge, I think far removed from yours, do not accept God in the orthodox knowledgeable sense that man accepts him, particularly the man of religion. Man's religious upbringing and teachings have confused him and have confused generations. Man, if he wants to understand the mysteries of the universe, must begin first with himself. He must begin to know himself. In India, there used to be this realization, which still exists, that man must know himself, man must turn within himself to find the beginnings of truth. Even the teachings of the Christ were identical. Indeed, much that the Christ preached, and much that has been added, and much that has been given out through the generations of time, have been from old truths. Christ knew that man first had to seek within, for within yourself is the beginnings of realization, the beginnings of knowledge, the beginnings of truth, the beginnings of growth. And it is that part of man that is indestructible that will show him the path, the way, and the light. I am the light, said Christ. But he meant not as the world thinks, that he was the savior of the world inasmuch that he was God on earth incarnate. He meant that that which came from within himself, that illuminated his whole being, which gave confidence and gave trust and realization to his disciples, that it was this inner truth, this inner knowledge, this inner realization, this realization that the body was but the machine, the temporary machine, which was fundamentally only the outer covering the outer shell, the reality, the personality, the spirit, the mind. All that is man, that is indestructible and eternal, is that which is within. We must get down to these facts and to these realizations that within man is a potential, and it is this potential that is in itself, the indestructible spirit that cannot die. For that which is of the mind and of the spirit lives on, and the body deceased has no more meaning or being as such, and is indeed lost and forgotten in time itself. But the reality of the spirit, this is a different matter. Man will find for himself that which he has created, either through his knowledge or his ignorance. He will create for himself exactly identically those vibrations and conditions of life which are best suited to himself for such a time, until he himself begins to struggle and emerge into a higher state of being. It is truly like the chrysalis and the butterfly. And those who say otherwise know not truth. No man can find truth in a complete form. There is no such thing, indeed, one might say, as complete truth, for truth could never be complete. Truth is, as it were, something which is a part of. It is something which is added to, something which grows, something which is in itself so immense that the mind nor the spirit can fully grasp it in any stage of evolution. If it were so that we knew all truth, there would be no point in life. It is that which makes it so interesting and exciting, and that which is eventually fulfilled in part. It is this that makes us struggle. It is this which makes life itself possible and tolerable and understandable. Those who tell you they have all truth, that particular creed or religion that they adhere to is the whole truth, are fools. They do not know only but an aspect of truth. Quite often the aspect of truth they have is so coloured, so indeed added to by generations of wrong thinking, and that they have almost lost the very particles that they first possessed. The true Christianity, for instance, as taught in the early years, the early stages of its development, is far different a thing to that which you see around and about you. Wherever you go, you have confusion, you have uncertainty, you have so much given out as solid fact which bears no bearing upon truth at all. Those who would seek truth, as Christ said, and all the great prophets said, that you must seek first within, and you must in many instances forget much that you've already learnt. When your mind is freed and uncluttered and open, so you will find entering into a divine intelligence and divine thought. Those of us who come to you, varying as we must and do, and are happy to be so varied a band of brothers, coming from different spheres and different conditions of life, will give you our different knowledge and aspect of truth. It all binds down to the one truth, but we are all giving you aspects of it. We are all like chains in a great... We are all like links in a great chain of strength, and it grows in such a way, the immensity of it is so tremendous, that one cannot in any way hope that you shall fully grasp. But remember that each link in that chain is strong and firm and sure. It may be that some soul may come to you from some sphere and give you certain knowledge and impression and insight, but remember that he will never claim to know all truth. He will never claim that he is the great Messiah or the great teacher. Indeed, I would say to you, be so suspicious of all those that come with high words and high ideas, that they may try to impress you that they are truly the greatest of all. For those who come from the highest spheres and the highest states oftentimes come in the most lowly guise. Even the great prophets of old and the great Master Jesus, they did not arrive, as so often those seem to arrive from this side according to that which you listen to. They do not arrive with pompous ceremony and high phrases and high words. They did not make great claims. Christ was born in the most humble of circumstances. The whole of his life was spent in humbleness of spirit and humbleness of material condition. He made no great claims. These claims that are given to the Christ are what others have made for him, so that they could in turn build a great organization or organizations of which it has so developed. Far removed from the simple teachings, a man of humbleness and of great spiritual awareness, Christ was so different to what the church teaches. Christ knew the power that lay within. He knew the power of the great spirit that was indwelling, in which he could express its power and its love and overcome much of the material inconsequence. But the whole history of the Christ is so different to what so many would have you believe. He himself knew that within himself was the power that could overcome all things, which it did, even death. Death is not the great divider. Death is not that which you should fear. Death is the gateway to release and new knowledge and experience. No one should fear that.
Excuse me. Could you give me your name?
My name will convey little or nothing to you. But my name is Perseus.
Perseus?
It is a name which will not ring clear in your head, for it is a name as old as time, inasmuch that it goes back many thousands of years. There will be those who will say, what proof, what evidence have you of this? But that in itself is of little consequence. It is not the voice, it is not the name, it is but the message of the spirit that is important. There will be those who will not understand this, and those who will say it is not so. But I say to those who listen to my voice, Do not concern yourself with names. Do not concern yourself with what one was, but what one is, what one has become. Listen to the message of the Spirit, for it is but the voice of the Spirit that mattereth, not that name or that place which once was the home of the physical material body. For all men have many bodies at many times. There are many who will not like this thought, many who will not agree or accept, but it is because they think wrong, inasmuch that they like to feel that they are one body, one spirit, that they are not, as it were, different, that they are in themselves individual to the extent that they must not and cannot share themselves with others. There are those who talk about the brotherhood of man. There are those who talk about being one in spirit and in truth. But when it comes to the actual fact of realizing what that means, they are afraid of it and dislike it and turn their back on it. But until one has learned to live in many ways, in many lives, in many bodies, under many forms and guises, until one has assimilated everything that one can from earthly life and has grown in mental and spiritual stature, and until one has become absorbed in the reality of life eternal, until you forget self in such a complete sense that you become part of a group soul, in other words, in a sense, though you retain an individuality and an identity and a shape and a form, and if necessary even a name, that is not the important thing. It is that you are part of the great Holy Spirit, that you are indeed truly an individual inasmuch that you retain to some extent an individual sense, but you have become so part of life and the fullness of life and the intelligence of life, and you have become so immersed in the Spirit that you have lost all the material conceptions, that you are quite content to be expressing eternal truth. In other words, we are all part of eternal truth, we are all part of eternal life, and we have lost all the things which make us often individual in the wrong shape or sense or form. In other words, the worser has gone from us, and only the good remains. And it is the good that lifts us up into the heights of spiritual consciousness and awareness. And if we wish to return to earth, to converse or to make some comment, or to advise or to help, or to give as we oftentimes do of ourselves, we reassert ourselves in a sense so that we can be heard or that we can be recognized in certain ways. But this in itself is as naught. What is important is the message of the Spirit. People say, oh, I speak at my sittings or my seances to this or that soul. His name is so and so. And he lived in such a place at such a time when on earth. All this is of interest. All this is, in a sense, to you important because it helps you to have some form of recognition and it gives you the opportunity to discuss it as individuals. But we who come to you with great intelligence are not so concerned with the fact of name and of place. We are concerned with the divine message of life eternal, that you shall be imbued with a desire to serve truth and to give truth out where'er you go. But there are those in your world, as you well know, whom you cannot reach, for they are full of themselves. And this is the thing that I want to stress. It is until you lose yourself that you find yourself. Not until. Those who are full of their own self and think that all that they know is so and right and just, that there is no harm, no fault, no mistake in that which they have and which they would imbue to others. This is the fallacy. This is the mistake. when man is like a vessel that is empty and clean, truly the waters of life and of the spirit and of truth can be poured therein, but it must be gently poured. It must not be overbrimming or overflowing, for then it is waste, and much is lost. And so it is that we who come to you are vessels of the spirit, and we... You replenish, as you will, that vessel, because in a sense that which we do for you and through you, we receive from you, as you yourself express and become, some power and vitality that enables us to continue our effort and our work on your behalf. But if we were to come over full, over brimming, and you were to receive too much too soon, it would not be good, and we could not assist nor help you. We must come and give you gently that which we know, that you might be refreshed for the moment. And new wine must be poured into the old bottles. You, my children, are learning fast, but at the same time it is not easy, the task that is set you, that you might convey this to others. There will be those who will taste and find it bitter, because they themselves have not been prepared, are not ready. Indeed, to some it will be like a medicine which could cure them, but they like not the taste of it and will turn away from it, and they will still retain their sickness. There are many who will not receive the medicine of the Spirit, because they will be afraid. They will look upon you, perhaps, as doctors that are not efficient, that know not their business or their trade. I say to you that you will revive many, and many shall be rejoiced because of you. Many shall be refreshed and brought back to health, and many shall see a new life lying ahead, clear before them, and they shall be overjoyed. But there will be those who will be afraid of you, will not trust you, will not accept that which you give. These you can do little for their trial, tribulation, and unhappiness, and all the things, the evils, as the world calls them, they may yet have to learn and experience. Your world is a training ground for the soul, and when man realizes that he creates by his thoughts and his actions the very conditions under which he finds himself, when he aspires in the highest sense to the truth that is there waiting to be received, so shall he expand and grow in his knowledge and his estate. Great are the things that can be conveyed by the Spirit, but only when man himself is prepared to learn, to listen, and to partake, and to drain himself clear of all the thoughts that prevent his acceptance. When the mind is too full and too cluttered, there is no room for new truth, new thoughts, new ideas. Man must learn to, as it were, to cast from himself much of the preconceived notion and idea, the erroneous thoughts and ideas that he has accepted, quite often without even concerning himself too deeply as to that truth. Cast out error and open your mind to knowledge and truth, and then shall you be free. And as your freedom expands and your knowledge grows, so shall you lift yourself so high indeed. And yet as you lift yourself to the heights, the new knowledge and the new revelation will make you even more humble. Distrust all those who come, saying that they come from high estate, and that they are of themselves highly to be revered. For those who come with truth are humble in truth. They have no doubts, no doubts whatsoever within themselves, that they are, as it were, but small in the sight of great truth. The greater the truth we know, the more humble we become. And I will say to you also, be of good faith and be humble in it. Go forth in the darkness of your world and transmit that light that you have seen, though it may not always pierce sufficiently to your liking and others the gloom of your world, yet it shall be a light, and others shall come to it and be drawn to it, and they shall seek and they shall find, and their light shall so grow
as the great Christ himself said, let your light shine before the world, that all who see it may rejoice and see the glory of the heavens. You, my children, have done much, but much more yet ye shall do. Great are the encompassing ones who come to you, from the varying degrees of illumination of mind and of thought and of spirit, but all come as brothers together in harmony and in love, and there is no doubting, no fearing, only trusting and loving, and assuring at all times the wisdom of the Most High, that the spheres of the Spirit may truly enjoin with the sphere of the earth, that all who seek shall find, and the light shall truly go forth to illumine the path of all mankind. Be children of my faith, good and strong, and have no doubts and fears, for we shall not fail, for that which we do is truly greater than ourselves.